Blog Talk Radio.
Well, here we go, ladies and gentlemen. We just finished the Pennsylvania Purgatory with Matthew DiBiase live from Philadelphia. Now it's time for Los Angeles Lockdown. Yours truly, Mark Mancini, along with the other Mark Heffernan. And we're going to break down a little Tinseltown talk, 347-205-9631. You can email mancinisports@yahoo.com. Catch the archive version. It goes by quick. On blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports podcast platforms powered by Mancini Media. And I'll tell you, the last couple of weeks being, you know, railroaded around with different times and everything, and now we're back in 9 days later, and here we are to start the show, and a lot to talk about. So without further ado, let me lay the red carpet down, put the podium in its place, hand off the mic. Mark, first of all, how are you? Second of all, how can people get a hold of you? Third of all, you and me are going to go back and forth the next 3 days in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, well, the Dodgers playing Pittsburgh, good luck there. It's not like two great teams are competing. I'm doing fine. The weather is cooling down. It's going to cool down 10 degrees. It's been very hot, over 100 for the past week here in Bakersfield. Lost some weight for a while, gained it all back. And at any rate, people can get in touch with me by going to my email site, sportsrapnet@yahoo.com, S-P-O-R-T-S. rapnet@yahoo.com. Yeah, a lot of things to talk about, as you mentioned, with the Dodgers taking on the Pirates.
Yeah, I'll tell you, you know, the Dodgers coming up from Dixie, losing 2 out of 3. Kershaw got shelled yesterday, and Trevor Bauer wasn't the same today, and Max Fried got the best of him. Pirates, meanwhile, take 3 out of 4 with the Fish. Could have took 4 straight, and that would have been nice, having an off day and then welcoming the bums into town. But here we go. It'll be the first of 3. 2 night games in Pittsburgh and then a day game before the Dodgers come back home to open up a homestand with Texas and then 100% capacity with the Philadelphia Phillies. Meanwhile, my Pirates will head to Milwaukee and then to Washington. Let's start with the Dodgers first. There's a lot to talk about in 30 minutes, so let's kind of give it an ample amount of time with all these things, including the Lakers, the Clippers, and what else might talk about without going on in L.A. But the Dodgers, this is a team, they're lucky to be 3 games back of San Francisco, 1 game back of San Diego. Let's face it, this is not going to be a stretch where the Lakers or, you know, some of these teams that have money can just say, okay, we can compete out here. You're starting to see that with the Dodgers. Yeah, you brought in Trevor Bauer. You made some, key acquisitions the year before, bringing in Mookie Betts. But the last 2 years, and I've said this on the show before, and I've said it to you in private, Mark, that I think the Dodgers have given up a lot of depth the last 2 years, and it's finally caught up with them. Now it's a 3-team race. I don't know if the Giants are going to stick with it because I don't consider them, you know, a contender, you know, as we get into July and August. But I will tell you one thing. The Padres are going to match the Dodgers stride for stride here. Any thoughts?
Well, Dodgers brought in Mookie Betts last year, and he's having a subpar season, hitting .258. Had a couple of pretty good games and went 0 for 4 yesterday. I'm not really sure about today. And, you know, they lost 6-2 to Atlanta. Kershaw's getting older, and he's given up 5 runs apiece in his last 2 games. ERA has jumped to 3.8. Bauer's been kind of a disappointment, very wild. 4 walks today, 7 Ks, 3 runs, 6 hits, and 6. I'm not impressed by that, especially the fact he won the Cy last year. And so I don't think he's getting the job done. I don't really care about his ERA. Give him up about 13 home runs. Urias, I think, is a better reliever than a starter. Pitched well the other day, but was banged the previous game. Bueller's been pretty solid. But once again, the bullpen's struggle. They gave up some runs today. The Dodgers are only +9 over .500. Looks like it's going to be a tough season for them. I don't know if they're going to come out of it. I don't know if they will catch San Francisco. Don't seem to have that. You know, you got, like I was telling somebody, you got to be hungry. You can't be satisfied when you're an athlete or a team. You got to be hungry. You got to have a chip on your shoulder. Not about this, oh, yeah, we're cool because we won last year. No, you can't have that mentality. Teams improve every year. They improve by trade, free agency. Other teams get hungry. And you have to try to match that, and I don't think they're matching it. And I don't think they have a mentality this year to win it all. That starts from
Well, when you look at this team, you I think the part of the problem is, you know, Dave Roberts is just going to sit back and run, you know, that horse out of the bullpen and Kenley Jansen. When I look at this team, I kind of look at the Detroit Pistons when they were starting to go downhill after they won a few titles. They kept the team intact. They held on to too many guys. We saw the Chauncey Billups and all those type of guys they kept, and saw it took a while to rebound. You know, let's face it, the Dodgers get a little bit more money than the Detroit Pistons from another sport. But at the same time, if you keep thinking you're going to run the same guys out year in and year out and nothing's going to, you know, dethrone you from winning the division, you got another thing coming. This division is not, you know, based on Colorado and Arizona, the bottom feeders there. Now you got the Padres, who have just retooled every year to compete with the Dodgers and to go neck and neck with them. And the Giants now are just playing on house money, if you ask me. I don't think the Giants are that good. I think they're just getting career years out of some of these guys. And, you know, the fountain of youth with, you know, Belt and Crawford and Longoria and Posey is helped tremendously. But can the Giants sustain this? I don't think so. But I will tell you this, and I said this from the start, that when this thing is settled in October, the Padres will have won this division by 5 games. Now, whether that's over the Dodgers, the Giants, whoever, they will win this division by 5 games. They're that much better than the rest of the division, the San Diego Padres.
Well, the top 3 teams are the Padres, Giants, and Dodgers. Colorado and Arizona won't figure in the division crown. Those 3 teams, we just don't know what order it will be. You know, Posey's having a great season. He opted out last year. Belt's not doing much. Crawford, he's a big dude. You see the legs on him? He's hitting for power, the shortstop. Longoria got hurt. A lot of the other guys have been on their team the last 2 or 3 years. They haven't made a lot of changes, but their pitching's been outstanding, San Francisco, both with starters and the pen. San Diego's pitching has been outstanding this year. Pitching and defense has been a big reason why both these teams are winning, not so much offense. And the Dodgers have other issues, but we're still not halfway through the season. But who knows what's going to happen? I really couldn't make a prediction about where the Dodgers are going to finish up. But I think you do have to improve your team every year. And the Dodgers got to bring up more young players. I mean, they say, a great farm system. I don't see a lot of young studs they've been bringing up over the past couple of years. Just getting guys through trade and free agency doesn't necessarily make any difference. You're spending a lot of money for guys for 1, 2, or 3 years. It's not really helping them that much because Betts really has kind of been a flop this year. He was very good last year, not great, very good. He made some nice plays, but they won as a team. This year, he's really been a flop. And, you know, nobody will say that in L.A., but I'm saying that. He had a couple of pretty good games recently. I mean, he hasn't done anything.
Well,
you can't get going. .255
right.
does not deliver for me. You're making that kind of money. Sorry. He has like
well, here's the
run.
Thing, Mark. Well, let's face it. You know what? When you look at last year, you played 60 games. You were given the championship. You know, if you want to roll the dice back, let's talk about, Atlanta had you guys down 3-1. They stopped playing baseball. If Atlanta finished you off, what we'd be talking about now is we'd be talking about probably Kenley Jansen not even being in Los Angeles. Who knows where Dave Roberts would have been. So, I mean, you get the tarnished title. You bring it around, you know, Tinseltown now, and you walk around with it, and okay, so be it. But let's not kid ourselves here. The San Diego Padres are not going to sit back and be content come, you know, the trading deadline. They'll bring in another frontline pitcher. They'll bring in another bat. They'll do whatever it takes to go stride for stride, like I said, with the Dodgers. So, you know, what the Dodgers are going to have to do is basically keep up with the Padres. Let's face it, the Padres are young, they're hungry, they know what it takes, and, you know, this is not going to be a division where the Dodgers can throw their hat out there and say, well, we've been the best team for 5 years, we got ripped off by the Astros and their trash cans and all this other stuff. You know, that's not it. There's a situation going around Los Angeles now, and maybe you can allude to it, breaking it down, because now Major League Baseball is starting to investigate the Los Angeles Dodgers for a sticky substance. I said this before when everybody was looking at the Astros and, you know, Yankees as far as the banging, the cheating and all this, sign stealing and everything. The Brewers were brought in it complaining that the Dodgers are cheating on stealing signs. Nothing ever happened to that. You know, went by the wayside. But the Dodgers are now sitting front and center with the sticky substance being used. Are you aware of this, or are you just hearing it right now? Because it's been brought up.
Who's using the sticky substance?
Well, I don't know who's using it, but it's getting a spin on the baseball, and the Dodgers have been accused of it.
Well, just the fact they're accused of it doesn't mean anything. People get accused of things all the time in this world.
Yes.
What are the facts? I've seen no facts about it. Just to me, it's just BS. The fact is, who's using the substance? Not one Dodger pitcher is pitching great this year. So obviously they're not delivering, so it's not helping.
Well, is Trevor Bauer using it? I don't know. I mean, who
I
knows
know.
Who's using it?
Not
somebody, but the Dodger.
Give up three
well,
months.
Here's the thing that I got a problem with. If an organization's been called to the forefront of something, we saw the Mets with the whole nine yards with the former manager Mickey Callaway and the sexual allegations, and we heard this with all these other things about in New York, and you know the Mets with Cohen's last entrepreneurship he had running a business and the allegations over there. So if these things are coming through the circulation, well, I mean, they're just not going to start on its own. There's got to be some substance behind it. And the substance behind this is there's a sticky substance being used by either one Dodger, a couple Dodgers, or some Dodgers to try to get a spin on that rotation of the baseball. So we don't know who the guys are. We definitely know who the team is. We just don't know who the culprits are.
What's their basis on that? What's the evidence? Do they have pictures?
Well, I don't know. I don't know. I have no idea. I'm just don't shoot the messenger on this one.
If you can't name the people that you're pointing fingers at, it doesn't mean anything to me. Let's throw out some names. Trevor Bauer, Kershaw. Nobody said – I've seen nothing on it. I've seen no players mentioned for the Dodgers. To me, it's just a bunch of BS. If you can't come up
they
and
haven't,
have
they
name,
haven't mentioned they haven't
have
mentioned the players. They have not mentioned the players. They mentioned the team. The team has been called out.
Mention them. Who are the guys? I want to know.
Yep.
It's like the outside.
Well, maybe we'll know.
Bring them on the hands and things like that. Don't make it a mystery. Mention who the guys are. Bring out some evidence, and we'll talk about it. Have some pictures and things like that. Not just a BS on social media. Who believes everything they read on social media? I don't. Half the guys say stuff on my Facebook post don't know what they're talking about, local or nationally. They come with a bunch of crap, and I get back to them. They don't say anything to me for another 10 minutes. My mention things about the Lakers or Dodgers. I get guys from New York acting like they know about the Lakers and their issues more than me. Oh, really?
Well, let's talk about the Lakers. Let's talk about the Lakers. Boy, I'll tell you, first-round knockout for LeBron James, first in his career, 14-1 now moving forward. Somebody kidnapped Schroeder there, Dennis. I don't know where he is. He might have been, they might have kidnapped him in Phoenix or somewhere, because I don't know where he was in the series till he played a little bit better in game, six there. But Harrell wasn't used. Drummond wasn't used. Vogel, I don't know what happened. Jason Kidd's been rumored to take other jobs. He turned down Portland. Let's face it, Jason Kidd's not going anywhere. He'll be the next Laker head coach when they get tired of Frank Vogel. The only thing that saved Frank Vogel was that saved Dave Roberts. You gave me a title. So the title has been saved in Los Angeles. Frank Vogel's got another pass for probably another year, or he's grooming, Jason Kidd for the position. But let's face it, the Lakers need to bring in some artillery to compete next year even more. I think Schroeder's gone. I think Kuzma's gone. Gasol's out. Drummond could be out. And Bradley Beal could be the guy coming in, or Kyle Lowry. What's your take on the guys going and maybe the guys coming? And maybe there's somebody coming that you might think that I don't know.
I've heard about the Bradley Beal situation for 2 or 3 months. They could use a starter like him. Kuzma, major disappointment in the postseason this year. They've been talking about him rising to the next level, and he was about 13 points a game during the regular season. In fact, the first two games of the series, he had 2 points. Then he did better in game 7, but he was probably about 8 points a game. He's been a disappointment. He shot 29% from the field, 29% in that series, and they paid him a lot of money, obviously. Schroeder had 3 games, 20 points plus, but in between, he had 0-9, 0 points at one game, and about six the other one. I'm not really sure where his head at. LeBron doesn't like him, but, you know, usually LeBron gets what he wants. But my whole thing, LeBron, you're making comments about other guys. What about your game? I mean, I know, Betty, you're a little bit older and everything. You're still making nice money, okay? And you're still complaining about your ankle injury, saying, well, it's 80 or 85% complete, but you don't know how to take over a game anymore. You sit around and pass the ball to Caruso and Kuz and KCP. Guys can't shoot. You do that the entire first half while your team's down by 25. Then you score garbage points in the third quarter, most of your points in one game, and then your stats look good at the end of the day, so you act like you did okay. But you know what? You're not the king anymore. There's a lot of players in the league better than you. He just kind of like dropped off the table. It's kind of sad to see, not because I'm a Laker fan, but he really just really plummeted in one season. Last year, he and AD were healthy. They played great. Lakers did not have good supporting cast, but other guys played well. Caruso played better last year. KCP had a great playoffs. You know, Rondo did very well in moments. But this year, their other players are lousy. They were lousy without AD and LeBron. They were lousy with them. I mean, these guys make good money. I mean, they're NBA players. Why aren't you any better than that? I also have a problem with the Lakers' secretive medical team. Why would you put Anthony Davis out there to play in that game? Or are you telling me he was okay to play? When I saw the first part of the game and Booker's making every shot, and then you had Davis trying to guard Booker, he couldn't even move. He was standing 30 feet from the basket, Davis, where Gasol normally is. He couldn't make a move left or right. Why did the medical team approve him to go out there? That's stupid. I mean, who are those guys? Who are the Lakers' trainers? They've done a pathetic job the last 3 years. Ever since LeBron came to the Lakers, remember they had Lonzo Ball, who was hurt half the year with a back problem. Lonzo was hurt. Kuz was hurt. The other dude, Brandy Ingram, played about half the year. The last 3 years, they've had so many guys injured, and for long periods of time. No, I'm not blaming them totally. I blame them partially. Why aren't you getting these guys in better condition? Training staff, medical people, and another bunch of people making good money. They're incompetent at their job. Incompetent. And they work for the Lakers organization. That's part of the problem. Who's running the show there? LeBron? He shouldn't run the show anymore. He's not the king anymore. Does he figure that out? Or is Vogel's job just to kiss his butt all the time and do whatever he says to do? Vogel's fortune last year, Mark, like you said, because they did very well in the bubble and they won it. But the Lakers are not a team that's built for the future. The Clippers have better players. Saw their game today, moved the ball around very, very well. Kawhi was great, you know, 45 points. The other game, about 30 today. George was steady. Jackson looked good. That little left-handed shooter did a good job. But they kind of won that game going away in the third quarter. Luka has to do too much for Dallas. No help for anybody else. But the Lakers are not in good shape right now. They're the second-best team in L.A., and they don't really have much of a future. Anthony Davis, when he played 25, 30 games, we never know he's going to be healthy to play. And LeBron's kind of fading. Who else do they have? Basically nobody. They are not in good shape. I don't care what they say on the Lakers' little TV network there. Not even James Worthy.
Well, here's the thing. As we wind down the show with 10 minutes and some change left in it, you know, when you look at LeBron, you know, before he came to L.A., you know, there was a stretch there where he had like 5-6 NBA finals in a row. That takes a lot out of you. I mean, and doing it with car salesmen and, you know, auto mechanics in some of these cities he had to do it with until he got to Miami and then, you know, back to Cleveland for another remarkable run, down 3-1 against the Warriors, is just simply remarkable. A lot of people have been, you know, bitching and moaning and complaining about him walking off the court and not saying anything to nobody or congratulating him. Hey, he did the same thing in Boston when he was a member of the Cavaliers. He didn't want it. You know, he was just tired. He set the bar high, and that's it. It's frustration. He goes wants to wind down near the locker. I don't see anything wrong with that. There's a lot of things we don't see behind closed doors. And I think it's, you know, when people's perceptions are, well, he's this and that, well, you're not looking at the whole angle here. Let's face it, you know, Davis couldn't perform. He played like 5 minutes, and that was it. And, you know, LeBron's out there playing with guys that can't even shoot straight. You got Tucker, you got Kuzma, you got all these other guys shooting the ball. It's a 1-on-5. So, you know, no matter how good you are, you're going to get worn down. He got worn down, played a lot of minutes, 33, 35 minutes. That takes a lot out of you. Is Phoenix that good? No. I didn't think Phoenix was that good. I think Phoenix took advantage of an opportunity. The Lakers had them down 2-1. They should have rebounded and put these guys away. They let them hang around.
Yeah.
And the State Farm boys resurrected themselves in the desert with plenty of cactus coolers. That's the problem.
Well, Devin,
but, you know, I think the Lakers need to – yeah, I think
he was shooting lights out in that last game. You saw a guy right there kind of rise, Devin Booker, for Phoenix. He's a very good player, an all-star. They kind of smile.
Well, yeah, but let me tell you something. You want to talk about the Clippers? The Clippers have depth. They've got, you know, their second team can outrun some first teams. They're going to smoke Utah, and they're going to smoke whoever comes out of that other series, whether it's the Nuggets or the, you know, the State Farm boys. So that series is going to be – the Clippers come into the Western Conference final for the first time in their history. They're going to get past that, and they're going to be playing Milwaukee. Now, I got a problem on this side of the coin. You know, a lot of people talk about the series out here. You know, you've watched the NBA over the years since you were a kid. I've watched it. The game has changed, man. What's going on with this game? I'm watching the Milwaukee-Brooklyn game yesterday. Towards the end of the first half, it's a foul on Durant. They're afraid to reel him up for his fourth foul. That means he'd only have one more, and he's gone in the second half. But, you know, I just don't understand it. I know the NBA wants, you know, the Lakers and the Nets for the final. They didn't get the Lakers, so now the next best thing could be the Clippers and Nets. When you start to try to give calls when teams aren't really that good, I'm not a Brooklyn fan. I'm not buying stock in them. I'm not a Kyrie guy. You know, I just think he's a malcontent. He causes a lot of problems wherever he goes. And before it's all said and done, he's going to run his way right out of Brooklyn. So, I mean, but when you look at this team, I still think Milwaukee will find a way to beat them in 6 games. I think it's the Bucks and Clippers. I said it last year. I'll stick with it this year. Any thoughts?
Well, the Bucks better win game 2. I think they're coming back being 0-2 down. Like the Clippers did against Dallas. The problem with the Mavericks is that they don't play much defense. And so much is focused on Luka Doncic. I think he was tired today in the second half. He's missing step backs and all kinds of shots. He still scored about 40, but he looked very frustrated and tired in that game. He has to do way too much for the Mavericks. What's Cuban doing? Get on some players, Mark Cuban. See him laugh.
Here's the thing, Mark. As we mentioned, Mark Cuban and you, Mark Heffernan, and yours truly, Mark Mancini, we're right on the mark here, mark of perfection. But when you look at this thing, you're not going to win in this league if you don't have 2 superstars. Let's face it, Atlanta's not going anywhere. They only have Trae Young. Dallas only has Luka Doncic. You're not going to win. You got to support another guy over there. Of course, we saw in Oklahoma City when they had all those guys going against Miami's big three. We had Durant, Harden, and Westbrook, and they didn't do nothing. So, you know. Let's face it. You know, you need star power to win in the league. The Lakers proved it with LeBron and Davis last year. The Clippers got it with Leonard and George, and it's a great supporting cast. They got veteran leadership there with Rondo, Marcus Morris, and you know, there's so many guys they got. They can spell and young guys, and man, the Clippers got the depth. I look at Utah. They're a good team. Yeah, Gobert and Mitchell are good. But, you know, you got to have other guys. And if you get in foul problems, then you're bringing guys off the bench that might not be used to playing full minutes. You got to utilize the bench in the regular season to prepare them for the playoffs.
Yeah, you know, before we go, I want to mention one thing about my favorite female softball team who kind of took a dive a little bit here. Number 2 seed in UCLA Bruins, who won in 2019, beating Oklahoma. They were no hit. In fact, the perfect game was thrown against them by Alabama, 6-0. Then yesterday, they were up 3-2. Oklahoma scored twice in the fourth, go 4-3. And the Sooners won 10-3. Now, my question is, you got outscored 16-3 in your last 2 games, and girls are laughing and things like that. Here's my whole point about them. When they won 2 years ago, with a lot of the same players, by the way, who came back, even though we had a COVID year, same players. 2 years ago, they had some walk-off hits. They came from behind. They showed toughness. This year's team looked satisfied. Now, they were 19-2 in the Pac-12. Washington was 18-3. And they didn't play that well in the regional or super regional. In fact, they had to come from behind to beat Fresno State. But they beat Florida State 4-0. But Rachel Garcia was not the same pitcher or player she was 2 years ago. She's 24 now, 22 then. I mean, she gave up like five, six runs a game over the past two games. Number two pitcher was hurt. So you're just going with one pitcher, UCLA, the entire time. You got to improve your depth right there. But I watched them, and, you know, a ground ball to the second baseman, she throws the first and they act like she made a diving catch or something like that. I mean, that is sort of like volleyball. Those are not tough plays. Why are you making a big deal about it, UCLA? Make a big deal if they make a diving catch or they reach over the fence or they throw somebody out at the plate. I don't know. It's sort of like girls in second grade playing. Every time they make an out, everybody's got to jump around and you know, high-five. But you don't hit the ball. That's why you don't win games. So their coach got to do some recruiting. Best athlete is Maya Brady, who's a redshirt freshman. And she's got to surround her with some other players that can hit. The problem with them is, look, like the other teams in the Women's College World Series are better offensively. They were the second seed, but very disappointing finish for a second seed. And I just felt they were too satisfied. You got to play with a chip on your shoulder. You can't be satisfied. Look at the Clippers.
Right.
They have a chip on their shoulder this year because of what happened last year. Kind of going out there, oh, well, we won 2 years ago, and we're going to be okay. No, other teams want to knock you off. You got to bring it mentally and physically. I don't think they brought it, and I was irritated about that.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. That's a good point. Less than 3 minutes left in this quick show. I don't know if you heard it, but SoFi Stadium for the Rams wants to make sure everything's A-okay when they open up the season. So if you're vaccinated, you don't have to wear a mask. If you're not vaccinated, you're going to have to wear a mask. Now, this kind of reminds me of the old days where certain people use one bathroom, other people use another bathroom. I think it's unconstitutional. I think the HIPAA law should be in effect here. How do you ask people what they have or what they haven't had? And it's going to be bizarre. And now you're going to signal out people that haven't got the vaccine compared to the other people that have. You're having this on jobs. The state's supposed to open up next week. Newsom says he still might not open everything to a certain extent, so we'll see what, you know, the back-and-forth method of his is. But now can you imagine going on a job and you're working with somebody that hasn't been vaccinated, but you have?
Yeah.
You need to wear a mask then till he gets vaccinated. How crazy is this whole vaccination in about 30 seconds, Mark?
Yeah, you know, my son contracted COVID-19 about a week ago, and he's had headaches and body aches and that kind of stuff and has sore throat for 2 or 3 days. Same thing with his girlfriend. And so they're quarantining at her house, you know, with her parents and everything. So it's kind of hit home a little bit. And I've been encouraging somebody else that's close to me to get vaccinated, and she hasn't done that yet. She says that she will. So, yeah, it's confusing to me. I don't really know what's going on. I guess you have to take a little card with you to show people you've been vaccinated. And I've been vaccinated twice. Hard-headed Mark has been vaccinated twice. So I'm okay when it comes to that.
Well, you know, and everybody has their own thoughts on what they want to do. Hey, you know, that's what makes the world up. Somebody might like Hawaii as a vacation. Somebody might like Cancun. Somebody might like Pittsburgh. So everybody's different, and that's what it is. I think what ends up happening is too many people try to change people's minds on what they should do and what they shouldn't. And rather let them, you know, address their own issues their own way. That's what's the problem in today's society today is everybody thinks their opinion needs to be regurgitated down your throat, and I totally disagree with that. Hey, as we wind this up, I know tomorrow you got a great show. Tell everybody what it's all about and how we can find it.
Yeah, it's on tomorrow at 6 p.m. Pacific time, Markman Madness. I have a couple guys obviously involved with sports. One's both are sports broadcasters. One guy actually was a baseball coach, too, from an academy. Alex Cohn is one of them. I forgot the name of the other person, but it seems like we haven't been on for a while, but, you know, both have about 25 minutes. So we'll talk about their journey, their mentors, things like that, and a little bit about their picks for Major League Baseball and things. By the way, I saw your buddy at the Clippers game today, Mr. Steve Ballmer. He was jumping up and down. He wants to give you
a
payway.
Well, he's excited, man. He's excited. Somebody said there's rumors of him moving on the team out of town. He's not moving, man.
He's going to double your salary next time you do a Zoom interview.
He's a great guy. I'll tell you, man, the next time we talk, and it'll be a good one when we reconvene here next Sunday, hopefully my broom will come in contact sweeping you boys out of Pittsburgh. Till then, everybody, that's Mark Heffernan. And on that side, yours truly, Mark Mancini. Thanks for tuning in to Los Angeles Lockdown. We will be back next Sunday, same time, same place, 5 to 5:30. Catch the archive on blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports. Podcast platforms powered by Mancini Media. Till then, have a blessed one. Tune in tomorrow to him. We'll have a great night, everybody. Thanks for tuning in.